The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. And it is, I've got a brand new atomic clock on the wall that I can actually see. It is the 8th day of July, 2010. Fascinating stuff that's going on, folks. I just have been having conversations with all sorts of people today, brokers and people and changing events and getting into discussions with the people that I had just casually exchanged emails with and finding out more about them. And, you know, folks, we got a lot of good people out there. I mean, a lot of good people. And human nature dictates that, well, when a person is pressed, and I mean pressed, I've always thought of civility as being a veneer. Some people's veneers are thicker than others, but it is a test of a person's mettle. When you strip away all the contrivances and the conveniences and money and, you know, comfort and all of those little things that we have become so accustomed to and so addicted to here in the United States, to the point that we have stopped being the rugged individuals that we once were and become rather dependent. But I, understanding and always looking at this from the eyes of human nature, who we are, as I've stated before on the program, you know, you can sit there and analyze a beehive and you can watch how it works and you can be fairly fairly accurate. You walk in with no assumptions. You just study and you observe and then you arrive at your conclusions. But how do you do that when you yourself are a human being? How can you objectively look at yourself and speak about the human race as if you're an observing third party and you're no longer human? You're just an observer and an analyst. Very tough to do. And people, I'll tell you what, folks, I have been pressed to the wall many, many times. There have been times where I went, whoops, maybe I shouldn't have done that, or whoops, I might not, it might have been better if I wouldn't have said that. But I have been tested, and it revealed to myself about myself. Some people may read it a different way, but I know from where it comes, and it comes from a pure heart. It just maybe not only always shows up like the white linens hanging on the backyard clothesline. But be that as it may, I've always approached this from a standpoint that gives somebody an even break. You give them the right information. They can use their minds to digest that information, draw their own conclusions, and act on their own knowledge base. We're here to increase the knowledge base so people have the ability to make better choices. So all in all, you know, I was just going through that in my head today, and I arrived at a couple other conclusions, of which I'll share with you right after this break.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Today in America, you are facing threats of bank holidays, currency devaluation, confiscation of funds by lawyers and various government entities. We at Panama Legal Offshore Law Firm based in Guatemala have offshore solutions. For instance, we can form an anonymous Hong Kong corporation for you, get you a bank account, a $1 trillion Hong Kong bank that'll let you own 10 different currencies in your account. If one or two currencies go down, the others will go up. You'll have no Hong Kong taxes, strong bank secrecies, no tax treaty with the USA, no need to go to Hong Kong. Access your funds online from anywhere in the world, and you can even get an anonymous Visa card without your name on it or in the strip through us. So come visit us at PanamaLaw.org. That's www.PanamaLaw, one word, PanamaLaw.org. And you can chat with us on Skype or use our encrypted chat and discuss your needs. Thank you.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
You know, that's always been an age-old question. Mankind has always asked, not only of the entire human race, but individually of themselves. Who am I? Who am I? What does it all mean? Well, that question should be asked of oneself repeatedly. But when we have this projection, we have in our minds of self, who and what we are, and we all do it, you know, well, I'm John Stadtmiller, and what do? Well, I do radio, and well, da-da-da-da-da, and everybody's got a story. Life is such a fascinating journey, folks. You know, for you atheists out there that don't believe in God and the hereafter, for these people, they're quite satisfied with, I'm going to die, and I'm going to turn into a ball of dust, and that's it. The agnostic out there doesn't have the courage to deny God, just in case he's there. So he doesn't have the courage of his convictions, so he'll just hang and straddle the fence for a while. And then there are those that believe, and, there's been a construct that, this is what happens when you die. And you've been a good person, you get to go to heaven. If you're a bad person, you go to hell. And people have questioned over the years, and I'm not turning this into a religious discussion, so get your fingers off that phone right now. Unless you want to add a bottle of Four Roses, we'll sit in the bar and we'll discuss politics and religion until we're crap-faced, and then we'll beat the hell out of each other. No. It has been, we are a construct. We are who we think we are, or what we hope to be, or we don't know, and we're just bouncing along in life, and we do things, and all of what human beings do. We're born, we live, and then we die. I was talking to the producer during the break here, Dan, and I said, you know what? I said, life is like a book, man. You've got varying chapters here. But the end does come. There is a final chapter. And then that's it. Now, these are pretty heavy things for a 20-year-old to be considering, because when I was 20 years old, death, I didn't think that much of life, except I enjoyed the heck out of living it. And live it I did. Man, oh man, I had a lot of fun when I was a younger man. And I was well on my way to being an upwardly mobile, matrixed puppy. And I was just breaking out of whatever I was and getting into something new. And then the Patriot Movement happened to me. And then the rest, as they say, is history. So we have a tendency to look back, and as we get older, to judge what we've done with our lives and assign importance to it and give ourselves failing or passing marks. Or, you know, folks, you know, I'm not going to be one of these people when I draw my last breath that I'm going to be remorseful or regretful. I should have done this or I should have done that. None of that associated stuff is going to be burdening me when I take my last breath. It's just not going to happen. I still don't know what I'm dealing with here. It's called life. And I'm enjoying the heck out of it. I really am. What a gift to be a cognizant, thinking being. What a gas to be even able to sit back and wonder and ask the question why. You may not know, get the answer as to your why. But what a great concept to be a cognitive, thinking, logical human being and be able to formulate the question, why? That into itself is a whole universe of gifts. So I don't spend a whole lot of time worrying about things, but I have learned a lot about myself. And as I said, when the time comes and we are all tested, when everything starts being stripped away, there's you, and then there's the rest of it. I find it rather fascinating. By the way, do we have the Terry Anderson story posted? We do. Okay, great. Yeah, and I guess this is a segue to the final chapter of the books, as they say. Terry Anderson is dead. And he died yesterday. Now, you want to talk about who people are. I met Terry Anderson, as a matter of fact, Cindy Sheehan, when we had that deal up there in Crawford, Texas. Terry Anderson showed up at that, so I had the distinct pleasure of meeting him in person and talking to him at length, and he has been on this network, I think, for the entire 6 years of its existence so far. And I was on the phone earlier today with Jeff Bennett. He's got a program over at the Micro Effect. Jeff Bennett used to be on this network. And we were talking about it, and he was just devastated. As a matter of fact, he said, I had met and spoke with Terry Anderson about 4 weeks ago at an event, and he wasn't going to come. And I told him, I said, hey, you know, maybe you should. So Terry did show up, and he didn't say anything to anybody. And it was a shock to me. I didn't know it. The man had pancreatic cancer. And up until a couple of weeks ago, he was still walking and talking and doing everything that he was always doing. He never stopped. He didn't take time out to lick his wounds and feel sorry for himself or pity himself. He did his Terry Anderson thing up until the very end. Now, if you want a definition of a class act, I would say that Mr. Anderson was one of them. And the write-up that Numbers USA did, and I will read that to you. And we are saddened to hear the passing of Terry Anderson. Very unique individual. Longtime radio host and immigration champion Terry Anderson died on Wednesday. Anderson was known for voicing his opinion on the negative impacts that America's current immigration system has on black Americans. He was highly critical of the Bush and Obama administrations and regularly had immigration champions such as former Representative Tom Tancredo and Representative Brian Bilbray on his radio program. He died, as I said, of pancreatic cancer. Now, he's survived by his wife, Melanie, who was also his high school sweetheart. He had two sons, two grandchildren, born in Oakland, California, but moved to South Los Angeles when he was a youngster and lived there ever since. After starting his own radio show in November of 2000, Terry would have broadcast for the 500th time in a few weeks. And he was known for his well-prepared opening monologues, which is he often spent 20 to 30 hours a week to prepare. Now that tells me why when I asked Terry, I said, hey, Terry, if your station out there in L.A. doesn't want to produce another hour for you, we'll produce it here at the network, and we can make that run seamlessly. You know, he didn't do that because he put so much preparation into 1 hour. He had very little time to countenance ignorance. he knew the time that he had on the airwaves, and that's all that he wanted to do, and he spent so much time doing it. So when I suggested to him to do another hour, he would consider it and then beg off of it. Well, now I understand why, because of all of his preparation for it. Now, as I said, in the 10 years, he never missed a show, although he is preempted a few times by his home station on very short notice. But Terry Anderson's website was dedicated to fighting for lower immigration levels to help impoverish black Americans. He provided links to the various organizations, including Numbers USA and our Immigration Reduced Report Cards, or Immigration Reduction Report Cards. He honored Border Patrol agents who lost their lives in a line of duty and provided a platform for candidates and public office holders looking to reduce overall immigration numbers. You know, that was the guy. Some might say that in the radio world, that's a one-note pony. But man, did he play that note. That's like saying there's a trumpet player and then there's Satchmo. In the weeks leading up to his death, Terry had J.D. Hayworth, and that's the guy that's running against John McCain, and Russell Pierce, author of Arizona's new immigration enforcement law, on his radio program. In his Clown of the Week segment, he blasted the Obama administration for the decision to sue the state of Arizona, as well as the DHS secretary, Janet the Butch Napolitano, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, and the head of the Los Angeles Archdiocese, Cardinal Roger Mahoney. Nobody knew that Terry Anderson had pancreatic cancer, and he kept doing what he was, I guess, born to do, folks. You know, how many of us in our lives can actually say that, well, what I'm doing with my life matters? You know, a lot of people they have jobs. And if they had their druthers, they wouldn't be doing their job. If they could find another way to fund themselves, I'm sure that they'd be doing it. Some people do it in different ways. Some become entrepreneurs, owning their own business. And then that is the story of life of how we put food on our plates, you know, our chosen vocations. But Terry was a dedicated guy, and he will be missed. But you know what? I'm going to miss him with a smile on my face. I will shed a tear. I will say fare thee well. But Terry Anderson will always remain part of thee, part of me, and part of this network. And I'm sure part of your lives as well. He may be gone, but the big guy's not forgotten. We'll be back.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed, without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out at school? That's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea?
I guess the best way to do a tribute to Terry Anderson is, in part, let Terry speak for himself. Californians for Population Stabilization were big fans of Mr. Anderson, and we'll just play this, and the clip will be self-explanatory. Terry Anderson, gone, folks, died yesterday of pancreatic cancer.
Talk show host Terry Anderson, known from Washington, D.C. to Los Angeles for articulating the popular rage, sat down with Californians for Population Stabilization to discuss the impact illegal immigration has had on black Americans. Anderson, who grew up in South Central Los Angeles and lives there still today, says that blacks in particular have suffered at job sites and in classrooms as a result of explosive illegal immigration. As he likes to say, if you ain't mad, you ain't paying attention.
The new threat in this new millennium is politicians, mostly Democrats, but some of these rotten bastards happen to be Republicans also, but mostly Democrats, who are willing to not only look the other way, but are taking a proactive stance in making sure that the laws are not enforced under any circumstances. One of the most vile, heinous, anti-American representations of the new lawlessness is Speaker of the House, Representative Nancy Pelosi. She is two accidents away from being the President of the United States. And recently, she said that the enforcement of our current immigration laws are, quote, un-American, unquote. Unbelievable.
I lived in South Central L.A. my whole life. I saw the deterioration due to the illegal alien invasion. And one day I started listening to talk radio, and it happened to be George Putnam, who we all know. And I kind of thought I was the only person involved in this. Well, not involved. I was the only person who felt this way. Thought I was by myself, and I heard people call his show just as angry as I was. And I got more involved in talk radio. I looked around the neighborhood. I saw the denseness. 10, 20 people living in a two-bedroom house, 4 and 5 cars at each house, corn growing in the front yard, chickens, goats in yards. This is all the stuff we never had when I was growing up there in the 50s and 60s, and all of a sudden we had it. I knew something was wrong. And then I got kind of aware of things when I saw the amnesty of 1986. I said, I was a very non-political guy, but even as non-political as I was, I said, this ain't going to work, because if they do this, more will come. And that's what happened. Very slow in the 50s, almost non-existent. In the 60s, it began to change basically from a white culture to a black culture. And then all of a sudden, in the late 70s, early 80s, it started to change to what I thought at that time was an immigrant culture. I later found out it was illegal aliens. And then it became very fast-paced. From, I would say, 85 until the present, it has just been unbelievably fast. Well, right now, if you're black in South Central L.A., you can't get work. There are people working. But if you go to McDonald's, you're a 15, 16-year-old kid, you go to McDonald's for an after-school job, weekend job, summer job, they want you to be bilingual. Bilingual to flip a hamburger, okay? Are there some black kids working in South Central, in McDonald's and Jack in the Box? Yes, there are. But the majority are not. You will go into these places now, it used to be all black kids working there, are now all Hispanics with the one token black kid in there. Construction work, non-existent for blacks, non-existent. I remember when they built the Magic Johnson Theater, owned by Sony and Magic Johnson. It was an all-white crew building this movie theater in the Crenshaw Mall. Black construction workers got very angry, picketed, went there and said, we want at least 50% of these jobs, which was correct. And they got 50% of the jobs. Now, you've got all these black construction workers out of jobs with no work, and every construction site now is all Hispanic, mostly illegal alien, and no black politician is saying a word. Even the janitors are becoming non-existent blacks. The only place that I've seen black folks still have a strong foothold, and that's slipping away, school janitors, LA Unified, okay, and bus drivers, LA Unified bus drivers, that Unified School District. That's the only place I still see a lot of blacks working. And the ticket agency to write your parking tickets is still predominantly black. Every other aspect of labor in South Central LA is now Hispanic. Well, you know, when it was Whitey, you want half of his. But when it's another, and I hate this word, but I'll use it because you asked me, when it's another minority, unquote, then it's okay. As long as the minority's getting to work, black folks say, well, it's okay. And I say black folks, I mean black leaders. The black rank and file, you talk to them in the grocery store, you go to Pep Boys and talk to them, you go to the bank and talk to them, they will tell you they're fed up with this invasion. But the leaders will not let the public know that. There's two reasons why the black construction workers won't picket. Number one, it's futile now, okay? They just know there's just no way they're going to get a job anyway. The other reason is the numbers have been so decimated. We've been diluted now. A lot of blacks have moved out of that area. They've moved out to Lancaster, Palmdale, Moreno Valley. They've also moved back down south where the parents got a plot of land or something, you know, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. They've moved down there. So the numbers are down now, so they don't have any strength. The other thing is the third reason. The third reason is because of stigma. They're afraid of being labeled a racist. They are scared to death of that word. And they figure if they speak up, they're going to be labeled. Whenever you hear a black person speak up on this invasion issue, they'll always do a disclaimer first. I'm not against anybody. I like everybody. I love everybody. But it's always that way. They always do the disclaimer first, and then they say what's on their mind. I was at an event that Bernard Parks was there at the time. He's city councilman now. He's city councilman then. Yeah. He's in the 8th District, okay, which is very near where I live. there are construction projects in the same block where his office is that are all Hispanic, and he doesn't say one word about it. He told us at the meeting that night over in West L.A. that he was very adamant that 90% of construction workers in the city, not county, city of Los Angeles, were white. And everybody in this meeting asked him, what are you smoking?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they wanted some. Where is this at? Because, number one, there are zero white construction workers in L.A., and this just doesn't happen. Secondly, to even say that about the county would have been ridiculous, but the city is just really, really stupid. And he actually said that night, and everybody just laughed out loud. He's an idiot. He really is. I have a theory, okay, and I believe it's correct, and I've done a lot of study on this. I've been to Washington, D.C., talked to all of them. It started out as get whitey, okay? Started out as get whitey. We're going to bring in these other, here's this word again, it keeps popping up. We're going to bring in this other group of minorities who are going to dilute whitey's power, okay? They're going to dilute whitey's power. And then as the group started coming in, it became a tide that couldn't be reversed. So then it became, well, let's be nice to them and maybe they'll vote for us. Well, they did in some cases. Until they got one of their own to run for office. When I say one of their own, I'm not knocking all Hispanic Americans, because I love Hispanic Americans. I'm saying that a lot of Hispanic Americans are race-based, just as Maxine Waters and Diane Watson and Jackson Lee and the rest are race-based. They believe in black only. Well, these Hispanic leaders believe in the same thing, and they side with the illegal aliens. Our problem being black, we don't have any illegal aliens to side with that's going to give us power. But the Hispanics do. And then it became with the Black Caucus, well, wow, look what's happening. But if we speak up now, we'll sound like the white Republicans, so we better not. So it went from get whitey to maybe they'll vote for us to, wow, the water's boiling. Jamil Shaw is a very tragic case. We've got other cases, Highland Park, where three or four blacks were killed just for being black. Canoga Park, where the LAPD gave a vocal warning to black folks, do not go to Canoga Park because your life could be in danger. Harbor City, man was walking his daughter to the grocery store one evening. A Mexican guy shot him in the back because he was black. The young girl, 204th Street, was killed because she was black. My point is this. There are sections of Los Angeles where blacks cannot go. If a black person goes to East L.A. and tries to buy a house, they will kill him. They will burn him out. It's happened. But there's Hispanics living in all the previous black projects, the Jordan Downs, Nickerson Gardens, Imperial Courts, Pueblo del Rio, all of these projects, housing projects, that were once 100% black now are 50-50, and no Hispanic has been attacked because he was Hispanic. My point is, there's a place where we can't go, but there's no place they can't go.
What do you attribute the reluctance of the Latino leadership in the city of Los Angeles up to, including Mayor Villaraigosa, to not speak more candidly and more aggressively about this issue?
Very simple. They don't have to. Why would they speak up? They're winning. Their numbers are taking over. They're going to be the 80% Los Angeles someday. They're taking over. Why would they speak up on our behalf? There's no reason to. They don't need us anymore. Villaraigosa can get elected without us now. I go out into the community, wherever I'm at, I ask questions. I don't tell them who I am. And that's the thing about being on radio. People don't really know what you look like. But I go out into the black community, and I talk all the time to people. Now, you know, I may be in line somewhere. I say, man, what do you think about so-and-so? Man, they'll turn around and say, man, I thought I was the only one. They all say the very same thing. We're in bad shape in this city. This used to be a multicultural city. It no longer is. There's no diversity in Los Angeles City anymore. And those same black people will tell you that they've got a relative who can't get a job. They've got a neighbor who plays loud mariachi music. They've got a neighbor who grows corn in his front yard. They'll tell you about their child in school who's in bilingual education and not learning a damn thing. They'll tell you all of this, every one of them. But if you ask them to stand up and come to a rally, they won't do it because they're afraid. I go to these churches. These churches have town hall meetings. And I've been to a lot of these town hall meetings. Every time they have them, they'll bring in Tony Muhammad and Earl Afari Hutchinson and some of these other, quote, black leaders, unquote, self-appointed black leaders. They'll bring them in, and they are the only ones who take the pro-illegal alien position. And sometimes the minister of the church will. You know what that's about, the money in the plate. But the black constituency that comes to these meetings is always 95% to 99% in favor of deportation of every one of them. And it's not just the black kids. No. The American Hispanics who don't speak Spanish. Oh, they're in trouble too. You know, they complain. They call this radio show. They come in here and talk to me. I get emails from them all the time. The problem with the education system is a few years ago, we were closing schools in this city because of under-enrollment, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Population had slowed down. They were combining schools, and every once in a while they would close one. We just built 165 new schools. 165 new schools. They were after 165,000 classroom seats, okay? All for what? It wasn't for the American kids. Americans aren't having a lot more kids. These were for an influx of people new to this country who happen to be Hispanic, happen not to speak any English, and happen to be in the country illegally. That's what happened. Or the illegal aliens came here and had babies here. My great-grandfather was a slave in the state of Louisiana. Obviously, I never met him. But the ancestry handed down to me by those who came before me, my aunts and uncles and my father, and they all told me the stories of what it was like because it was passed on to them. And one of the greatest moments in our history was the day we were emancipated. We were emancipated with the Civil War, but we still had to have something passed that said officially we were no longer property, we were now citizens, and anything born to us was citizens. That was written for my ancestors. Okay. Having said that, we've got a new misinterpretation of it that everybody from the world has used to come here and have babies and make them American citizens. It is wrong. It is a misinterpretation. And it angers me personally because it was written for my ancestors and now it's being misused and therefore used against me. I'm suffering from it now because of the influx of so many people and their progeny that they have once they get here. I'm suffering from that. My kids and my grandkids are going to suffer because they took an amendment meant for us and turned it around against us. That's outrageous. The media, basically at large, won't touch this issue as in any form. And when they do, it's always pro-illegal alien. When they do touch it as far as consequences to other people, it's alleged that this is hurting black folks. It's alleged that this did this. It's alleged that they're costing us tax dollars. It's never a fact that it's happening, even though they know it's a fact. The only avenue of media where we have a fair shake is talk radio, conservative talk radio. And even that sucks sometimes. Hannity, one of the most powerful people in this country, who could really do us a lot of good on this issue, and a guy that I would like to have a beer with. I think he's a nice guy. But Hannity sucks on this issue. All he talks about is the border, the border, the border, the border. There's more to the border. When's he going to do an hour show on what's happening to these communities? These kids that are getting murdered by illegal aliens. The fact that we can't get jobs. The fact that teenagers have to speak Spanish to flip a hamburger. Where's the Hannity show on that? Where's even a segment on that on his radio, on his television program? You won't find it. O'Reilly, here's another powerful guy who tells us we're going to have to amnesty this 20-25 million people. What is that? That these are lawbreakers, and you're saying, well, we have to amnesty them. We can't round them all up. We don't have to round them up. Make enough effort to enforce the laws on the books. You make it where they can't educate, they can't medicate, they can't incarcerate. Make it where they can't buy a house, they can't open a business, they can't rent an apartment, and I guarantee you they'll go home. What about the janitors in West L.A., Century City, Beverly Hills, who were making black janitors, some white, who were making $12 an hour 15 years ago? That was great money. That was great money. All of a sudden, the owners, the building owners got together in collusion, broke the union, hired Hispanic illegal aliens from Mexico and El Salvador. They came in, they said, you guys, minimum wage was 5 1/4, I believe. He says, we'll give you 5 1/4, fine. They went and told the black and white employees, we'll give you 5 1/4, you can keep your job. Well, if a guy's making $12 an hour, he's got insurance payments, house note, kids, car payment, all set up around $12. $5 an hour will kill him. He can't survive. So they lost their jobs. So guess what happened? The illegal aliens came in, got all the jobs, and then went on strike. And then Messy Jesse Jackson marched downtown L.A. holding a broom in his hand talking about justice for janitors. I mean, unbelievable. He's supposed to be Mr. Black. He's supposed to be, I'm so for the black community. These guys just put his people out of work, Americans out of work, and he marches with a mop in his hand talking about justice for janitors. I think it's going to get worse, but I think one thing that might save us, and I hate to use this as a savior, is this economic situation. I think that's going to slow things down. I think amnesty will be a hard sell now with so many people out of work. It was a stupid idea. In good times, in bad times, it's absolutely outrageous. But in Los Angeles itself, I don't think we're done, but I think unless we get some more American thinking back into this city, and less left-wing, liberal, idiotic ideologies that are taking place where you give everything away to anybody who wants it, whether they're legal or illegal, I think we're sunk pretty much for quite a while. As we progressed and the races came together, we started to drift off into this black pride, black awareness thing, which I never really got, but I saw it and liked it and didn't like it. It brought us together in one way, but it also kept us from being full Americans. But we never, ever talked about taking over a country. We never talked about, we had no Aslan. We never talked about reclaiming a part of America for our race or for some previous country we came from or continent. We never flew a foreign flag. We never did any of that. And that's what angers me now. These young Hispanic kids now, they're if you ask them, kids that are second and third generation Californians, Americans, will tell you they're Mexican. I'm Mexican. I hear them say it all the time. Wasn't your mother born? Yeah. Wasn't your mother and father's mother born? Yeah. But I'm Mexican. I'm not American. I'm Mexican. But when you've got a country, and I'm not against immigration. I want to cut it way back. But I think we need some fresh blood every once in a while. But when you have this many people coming this fast illegally, guess what? They don't have to. They don't have to assimilate. They can keep their own 100% culture. Same culture they ran away from, they can drag here.
Terry Anderson's show can be heard every Sunday night in Los Angeles on KRLA 870 AM from 9 to 10 p.m. Other stations carrying his show can be found at theterryandersonshow.com. For more information on how you can help, go to www.capsweb.org.
That was an interview that was done on June 10th, 2009. And, you know, the problem is, folks, that we don't have black people in this country that can articulate. Anderson articulated the rage over the immigration deal. You may have noticed on the network, Pastor Manning, Pastor James Manning from Outlaw, is not on the air. And he did his deal up there, the trial of Obama. And I was told, I called yesterday, I know he was going to take a little time off when he's coming back. Well, we don't know. A month, maybe two. And I said, oh, no. Pastor Manning did the Manning Report every day. And he is badly needed because there is a lack of black voices out there. What do we have? We have Jesse the Rainbow Jackson Coalition kind of guy. We've got Al, I don't know what I am. I claim to be a preacher. I'm Al. I'm really a charlatan, Sharpton. The race baiters, the race card players. And there is very few. And they're out there. There are blacks that know what's going on, that can articulate, but they're never given the airtime. They're never brought on television for real interviews. You know, it was kind of fascinating. My wife, she recorded, I didn't get a chance to watch it. Give you an example. Larry King, his real name's Larry Sigler, by the way. It's not King. Jewish fellow there with the suspenders, is going to retire in September. Well, who did he have on last night but Benjamin Netanyahu? And my wife is watching this upstairs, and kept coming downstairs and goes, well, Netanyahu said this, and, you know, he wants peace over there, but, you know, these guys won't cooperate, and I said to my wife, I said, hold on here. And it was suggested during that show, I don't know who made the suggestion, as I said, I did not watch it. I'm going to watch the thing tonight. But it was suggested that maybe the leader of the Palestinians sit down with Netanyahu on the Larry King show. And I just threw my head back and laughed. I said, that is not going to happen. By way of deception, by way of propaganda, by way of the medias that they own outright in this country, if not, have such pressure that people dare not speak out against Israel or the atrocities going on, or the occupation, the takeover of Palestine, and the elimination of the Palestinian people. I said, it is not going to happen. I said, could you imagine the leader of Hamas getting on Larry King and in front of God and all these people sitting there citing point by point by point by point what's really been going on, what really is the agenda over there, and what the true endgame scenario is going to be. I said, they're not going to allow that to happen. I said, for Larry King, that might be a great swan song as far as television may go, but Larry King's not going to do that. Larry King is not going to curl up his toes like the Wicked Witch of the West underneath the house once his television show goes away. He's not going to die. And Larry will be around. I don't know if he's still going to do his radio program. I think he is. But he's retiring from television. So don't look for Larry King to do something that, well, would go against the grain of everything and make a bombastic statement, do a show that somebody is going to see the other side of the argument. Ain't going to happen. And I thought that was, I mean, that's what's got to happen. I mean, you have this stuff that's prepackaged and pre-digested for you, you know, for the ease of your assimilation and understanding. But you will not have an ongoing debate which is unchecked, that is not controlled, which needs to be done, but don't look for it to happen. You know, I Pastor Manning doesn't know what he's going to do. And yes, I do know that the pastor was one of these people that were into the Judeo-Christian thing. Yes, I know. So don't call me up and tell me that. I already know that. But the rest of Pastor David Manning's message was right on point. Honest. Talking about the situation, the cultural situation in this country. You know, he almost reminded me of a Bill Cosby with a minister's collar on. Because Bill Cosby would come out, well-respected man. We all know who Bill Cosby. I don't think there's probably one American that you could ask and they wouldn't know who Bill Cosby was. I mean, when I was a kid, even before he did his little television series, which was groundbreaking back then, with Robert Culp, remember I Spy? There was Bill Cosby. Well, that guy's black. Yeah, but the show's good. And it was popular. Well, my goodness. A black man that could actually keep up with a white man and think for himself. Well, boy, there's a revelation. People enjoyed the heck out of that program. Bill Cosby started out as a comedian. And he really got his name started by doing, remember those LPs, those long play vinyl things? One of the albums I remember listening to, I think I was maybe in the fifth grade, if that. Why Is There Air? I mean, funny stuff. He was the inspiration for, who was the guy that we did the joke the other day with a match? Richard Pryor. That was the inspiration for Richard Pryor, but Richard Pryor took this in a, shall we say, more of a, funny stuff, but just laden with all kinds of unmentionables you can't mention on air. The, as George Carlin said, the seven words that you can never say on air. At any rate, well-respected, was not an Oreo, not an Uncle Tom. Anytime a black man became successful, he was an Oreo. He was an Uncle Tom. He was a sellout. He wasn't black anymore. And the people that wanted to keep pushing the multicultural deal, we got to have black identity. Black, 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 black. Well, wait a minute. What about the assimilation? What about being in a culture, being in a society that you benefit just like everybody else does? And how are you going to, how are you going to become part of that? And it was called the American Dream. When you're black and you show up and for a job interview and, yeah, I want this job, I deserve this job, screw you, whitey, if you don't give it to me. There again, the race baiting, the separation of a culture, its people. You know, it was suggested that, you know, maybe we should repatriate all these blacks back to South Africa. Well, if you go through the history of blacks in this country, I mean, true history, you could see the inroads that started to be made in academia, in manufacturing, in invention, started to get a pretty good toehold on self-determination. And you see, they weren't African-American at that time. They were Americans. They just happened to be of African descent. More on this when we get back.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-340-4634.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll free now, 1-800-340-4634. That's 1-800-340-4634.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Attention all business owners, save up to 20% free of charge on your business gas and electric energy supply bill. Call 1-800-641-5880. Due to deregulation of gas and electric utilities by the federal government, businesses in 16 states can receive up to 20% savings off their energy supply bill. This program is not for residences, it's only for businesses. Call 800-641-5880 for a list of qualifying states or visit RBN's website at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Enrollment is easy and completely free. No hidden costs, no interruption of service, and no cancellation fees. Don't delay. It takes 30 to 60 days to enroll. Call 1-800-641-5880. Thousands of businesses everywhere are saving money. Small offices and restaurants to large hotels, hospitals, municipalities, major fast food chains, and factories. This is a no-brainer. Your business is entitled to save this money free of charge. Call 1-800-641-5880. It's easy. Start saving money now. Just call 1-800-641-5880.
So, in this country, there are those that are out there being fueled by the fact that through policies that has brought the black population in this country to one of absolute destitution and dependency. And those that were out there, like the Jacksons and the Sharptons of the world, not really seeking true justice, not trying to improve conditions in inner cities. It was always about black, white, black, white, black, white, black, white. Ad nauseum, you would hear this. And it was a shame, because what was excluded were the voices that could be projected throughout the country through the various medias, radio, television, magazines, newspapers, whatever. Instead of the message of assimilation, there was one of separation. You know, I was watching CNN this morning, or I'm sorry, it was Fox News, and there was a guy up there, a black guy, E.W. Bishop, and talking about the rise of the new Black Panthers. And they played a clip of, there was an angry white guy that looked like he was straight out of the ghetto, man, telling on film, we got to kill Whitey. We got to kill Whitey. And this Bishop guy says, you know what? He says, you know, it's kind of funny. He says, if you get a white person that says, we got to kill Blackie, man. He says, but you'll never see the stories. Oh, you'll never see that much when there is reverse discrimination or blacks expressing racial discontent with white people. Won't see it. But this is all part of the plan, ladies and gentlemen. The people who run things is to keep us divided against itself. To drive the divisions that we're fighting each other while the ne'er-do-wells run out the back door with the wealth of this country. Your lives. It's what attracted me so much to Manning, because here was a black man that never wavered from his message or what he was about. And I'd really like to get this guy on the air, and he's probably going to hate me for doing this. Well, maybe he won't. Maybe he hasn't made up his mind exactly what he's going to do. I would like to see Pastor Manning doing a program instead of the wee hours of the morning. I'd like to see him doing a program during the day on this network. Because what is happening right now, ladies and gentlemen, is the battle lines are being drawn. They're being constructed. And there are no sane voices out there. There is no salve to soothe the friction that eventually is going to ignite. So, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. To call Pastor Manning's office and tell him, hey, we miss you on RBN. We'd like you to come. You know, don't get real heavy with him. Don't get all that. But call this number, 212-427-2839, and ask the pastor to get back into the fray. We've got little time left. 212-427-2839. I'll put that number out a few more times in case you're in a position that you can't round, ready, right. We'll give the number a couple more times. Second hour of the National Intel Report coming up. With recent